Get energized and excited to tell the world, hey, you can call me Catholic. Live from the Christ Cathedral Campus in Garden Grove, California, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Orange County Catholic Radio present Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normanton.
Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious. Ooh, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, give it some thought, lots of thought. Those are St. Paul's instructions to us. And once we've given it some thought, we should probably talk about these things too. That's certainly what we do on Call Me Catholic. Talk about the good stuff. I am Peggy Normanton, and you have arrived at Call Me Catholic, an hour of lively conversation intended to affirm, explore, and celebrate our Catholic identity in these modern times. So you can wake up and say to the world each and every day, oh yeah, you can call me Catholic. Jimmy Chi is true and honorable and most excellent. He's my faithful engineer and chief fact checker. Happy Easter, Jimmy Chi.
Well, same to you. How you doing?
Good, good. Did you have a good Easter?
We certainly did. Some fun family time.
Any Easter egg hunts?
Yes. And we're still looking for a few of them.
And how many did you get?
Well, I wasn't finding them. It was my mini munchkins.
Oh, come on. I still am going to bring up that idea with Bishop Van about having a campus-wide Easter egg hunt right here on the Christ Cathedral campus.
You talked about that.
So cool. So
last
awesome.
Week.
I would help hide them.
So many places to hide eggs.
Too.
Wow.
Hey, Jimmy G and I are coming to you from high atop the Tower of Hope on the extraordinarily beautiful Christ Cathedral campus in the Diocese of Orange. That's Orange County, California, folks, where it is sunny and bright and hot. Our governor has officially declared an end to the drought so we can enjoy the sunshine without any guilt.
Oh, he did he?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, I missed that one.
Yeah, well, we often miss what our governor has to say.
Really?
But anyway, hey, if you have any interest in watching us live and seeing what's going on in our little studio high atop the Tower of Hope, you can go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/callmecatholic. And Matt, our marvelous call screener, has put up a link, and you can just click that link on and it will take you to a live stream of the show. Once it's done, you can't watch it anymore. You might not want to watch it while it's happening, actually. There's a little delay, but otherwise it's kind of fun. You get to see our guests and
yes,
the back of Jimmy G's head. But it is warm. We're back into our heat. The heat is on here in Southern California.
Yeah, I heard it's supposed to be the hottest day of the week today.
Whew. Now, I don't know what the weather was like back in Jerusalem thousands of years ago when Jesus rose from the dead, but the forecast was quite glorious, and the apostles were filled with hope and just probably a little bit of fear. Some of them had doubts. We're going to hear about Thomas's doubts tomorrow in the gospel. We always love to hear about Thomas's doubts because we can all identify with that a little bit.
Definitely.
You know, show me the magic, Jesus. Show me the stuff. But Jesus was God. They learned that. And he gave them evidence of that, enough evidence to fuel their mission to go forward and preach the good news. You know, those first Christians, the early church Christians, the Easter Christians, let's call them, they really distinguished themselves. They introduced to the world a lifestyle that was radically different from any previous norms. And people knew them. They could identify them by their habits and their attitudes and their zeal. I mean, Christians were easy to spot back in those days, in those first 300 years of our faith on earth. They were easily recognized, you know, just because of the zeal that they had, the joy that they went through life with. And it made me think, because this is the time of year when I'm always trying to put my place in right there with the apostles. Mm-hmm. You know, the news is new. The news is fresh. How brave would I be? How passionate would I be? How scared would I be? I wonder how easily Christians are recognized in the world today.
Mm.
Now, we have sadly watched too many of our Christian brothers and sisters in the Middle East and in Africa, Christians unabashed about their faith, executed for their allegiance to Jesus Christ. But if you were to ask a lot of Americans today, how would you identify Catholic Christians? They might not use the words that were employed 2,000 years ago to describe the early Christians. Those were words like, Christians are so different. Christians are so joyful. And look at how these Christians love one another. So how close are we coming to that model set by our church founders for living fully Christian lives? Behavior that is at once, just like boom, instantly recognizable as Christian, not by the words we say, but by the disposition and the actions that we use to fuel our life. Those early Christians were on fire. They were on fire. So we're going to explore that today. We have two very distinguished guests coming up who have been singled out by our Bishop Kevin Van here in the Diocese of Orange for their positive influence on business practices in their field. Christopher Furman and Annette Walker are recipients of this year's Bishop's Award for Exemplary Business Integrity. Wow, that's pretty cool.
When the bishop singles you out, that's pretty special.
Yeah, for business integrity. Now, this award is given each year to two highly successful Catholic professionals who have demonstrated exceptional ethical leadership qualities. And I think that's upholding what the early Christians wanted us to be in the world. Always do the right stuff. Always do the right thing. That's what they say.
Yes.
Christopher Furman is the president and CEO of Ventura Foods, a global food manufacturer. And Annette Walker is chief executive of St. Joseph Health. And we're going to talk to them about their two very different fields of business and their dedication to working and living with integrity consistent with our founding Christian beliefs. But first, you are going to get schooled on the Call Me Catholic Countdown, which this week is the top five qualities of the early Christians, which we should be emulating. And maybe you already are. I'm not making assumptions here. I mean, maybe all you listeners are already just fully emulating walking the walk that the early Christians did. But since we're in the Easter season, the early days of our church foundation, it's a good time to do a little history heritage check and see how consistent we are with our early Christian brothers and sisters. So here we go. We're going to huddle up with Peter and John and Thomas today and get some counsel on what it means to be fully Christian.
The Call Me Catholic Countdown.
That's a little upbeat for this week. That works. That works. Okay. You get a pass this week, Jimmy T. But next week,
you.
I want more music. I want more cowbell.
And we need to dial it down a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. So the number five quality, we go from the bottom up. The number five quality that we should be emulating of the early Christians is joy. I mean, joy. That was implicit to being Christian. If you were called Christian, identified as Christian, they knew you were full of joy. Mm. You were excited about something. I mean, when they marched those early Christians into the Colosseum, they had smiles on their faces. They were singing hymns of praise. Mm. You know, they were sent in to do the dirty jobs in the mines. They were treated horribly, the early Christians, because frankly, it wasn't legal to be Christian in the first 300 years. Mm. But they did it with joy. They had a smile on their face because it was like they had that secret. You know, it's like when you have a secret, it's like, yeah, you can't touch me because I got a friendship with God that is very, very deep. Okay, so that's number five, joyful. Number four would be curious. The early Christians were curious. You know, they'd get together in sort of covert places and they'd learn about their faith. They were hungry for knowledge about this Jesus Christ, for hungry about the things that he taught the apostles while he was on earth. And they were a fantastic audience for all that the early apostles had to preach. And they converted thousands and thousands and thousands of these early Christians through the knowledge. So they were curious. And how curious do we remain as Christians? Do we just kind of take it for granted? Do we just take the surface value of stuff and not go any further?
Good point. We should
be more curious. Okay, number three is pride. In a good way. The early Christians were proud of their Christianity. Are we that proud as Catholics today? I mean, they had their symbols. They had the ichthys, which was the fish. Not just because Jesus sought fishermen and wanted his apostles to be fishers of men, but the word fish in Greek actually had a secret. Each letter kind of said something like Jesus Christ, Savior, and God. I mean, it spelled out something secret. So they'd have that fish outside their secret meeting places. They used the Cairo, Jesus, I'm the beginning and the end. They had the lamb, the good shepherd. They had lots of symbols that they really wanted to identify themselves with. So other Christians would be able to say, oh, this is a Christian gathering place. Do we do that? Do we wear our medals? Do we have, you know, religious artifacts in our home, in our car? I think that's important. I think that's part of claiming our identity, claiming our brand, and being proud of it.
Well, our goal with this show is to get people to walk around saying, you can call me Catholic.
Right? Amen, brother. Yeah. Amen. Okay, number two is solidarity. These Christians had great solidarity with each other. They didn't have all these fractured groups. I know they had their issues. We read about them in St. Paul's letters, but they had a sense of community and they lived in community. They always looked out for each other. They always took care of each other. They shared, you know, their wealth. And I think as Christians, that's a very important thing to identify with. Mm-hmm. We must be in communion, in community with our other Christian brothers and sisters and support them. We can
Amen.
Do that through our parish work.
Yes.
And outside of that. And number one is love. They had so much love. Their hearts were on fire with love and it was palpable. I'm guessing. But I mean, we're around Christians who are just full of love and you can feel it. You think, yeah, that person must be Christian. They're full of a lot of love.
We have no video. We have no live streaming from that time. So,
okay, well, this is just a little checklist we should keep on our refrigerators to remind us of how we are projecting Christianity to others. Let's be different like our ancestors. Let's be joyful, curious, proud, unified, and loving. That'd be a good start.
I'm checking all those facts.
Hey, speaking of community, why don't you join our Facebook community, facebook.com/callmecatholic. Get on board and give us a like. Pictures, podcasts, comments, questions. We'll answer your questions on there pretty quickly.
If you're not on our Facebook, you're missing out. You really are.
You are. Get on board the Call Me Catholic train. Or you can send us an email to callmecatholic@ewtn.com. You are going to meet two very impressive Catholic leaders on the show today. Christopher Furman, CEO of Ventura Foods, and Annette Walkers, Chief Executive of St. Joseph Health, will be up next to talk about the importance of best business practices for Catholics today. You'll want to take notes on this conversation, friends, so stay with us. I am Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Exploring the perils and blessings of embracing a Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Easter greetings, fellow Catholic Christians, and everybody else too. You're all welcome on Call Me Catholic. I am Peggy Normandin, and today we are examining how closely we're living out our Christian lives in keeping with the model established by our earliest Christians, the Easter Christians. Now, that doesn't mean we have to dodge the lions in the Colosseum, but our faith does demand that we perpetuate the zeal and the integrity of our earliest Christian ancestors. Today on Call Me Catholic, we have two guests who have been singled out for that kind of behavior in both their personal and business lives. In fact, these two Catholic professionals are recipients of this year's Bishop's Award for Exemplary Business Integrity. This is a distinction recognized each year at the Conference on Business and Ethics sponsored by the Diocese of Orange. And it attracts a high profile of business leaders in the audience who assemble at this annual forum to be inspired and educated on the best practices for Catholics in business in the tradition of our earliest Christian church founders. Annette Walker is president of strategy for Providence St. Joseph Health. And she's also chief executive of St. Joseph Health, which spans seven states and employs 100,000 caregivers. Chris Furman is the president and CEO of Ventura Foods, a leading global manufacturer of custom and branded food products based here in Southern California. Annette Walker, Chris Furman, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Thanks, Peggy.
Hey, so does it surprise you guys that you are receiving an award for being ethical in business? I mean, is there something wrong with that we have to do that today?
If you mean that might feel like an oxymoron, I hope it doesn't.
Yeah.
I believe firmly with all the leaders and executives that I meet on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis that there's more individuals, I think, that operate their business lives like Annette and I do than not. So I'm very proud and humbled to be honored by it.
Would you say the same thing, Annette, that it seems like that shouldn't be an exception?
Oh, absolutely. It shouldn't be an exception. It's really humbling to be chosen, but I am so excited that this award exists because it says to the community that we live in that this is important and it's worthy of recognition when it's seen, mm-hmm. so it can be emulated. And the people who've won in the past,
yes, you're in good company.
Yeah, I'm really humbled to be chosen and be selected and put in that tier. But I think it's important to recognize excellence in whatever it is. And in this particular area, it may be some of the most important.
Have you ever gotten to points in your business lives where you were challenged by the ethics? In other words, you thought, what is the right thing to do here? How do you feel about that, Chris, in the food business?
Oh, I think whether it's food business or any industry that you're in, there's a bit of a mantle of leadership that we all wear when you're leading an organization or a group of employees. And from time to time, absolutely, you come across difficult decisions, difficult situations where hopefully you're guided by your values and your morals and the way you've been raised and the way you conduct your life. And those decisions come pretty easily, to be honest with you, when you're confronted with them.
Were you both raised in the Catholic Church?
Yes.
Yes.
So has the Catholic Church, that foundation in the church, has it helped you toward this ethical profile that you have in business, make the right decisions, kind of evaluate and discern the right thing to do in challenging situations, Annette?
Oh, I think absolutely. I was fortunate enough to also be educated in Catholic schools for most of all my education. And I think there's that repeated diligence to integrity and to honesty, to doing a job well, that was taught and reinforced and expected all the way through. So absolutely, I think my Catholic orientation has helped me understand how to be that, or given me a standard to live up to.
Mm-hmm. Do any of you have role models or mentors that you really looked to and said, this is how I want to be too? This person has, or what would this person do in this situation?
My mom.
Your mom? Oh, I love
well,
to
I say
that.
My dad, but he's been deceased for a while. But similar to what Annette described, I grew up, I was a product of 16 years of Catholic education. I was taught by the Sisters of St. Joseph in grade school, taught by the Marianist Brothers in high school, Jesuit education in college. So that can't help but have, I think, an influence on the formation of your values and how you conduct your life. But today, to your question about a model, I think about my mom all the time. I talk to her every week. I'm here on the West Coast. She's on the East Coast. But I was raised Catholic, but I was also raised well.
Mm-hmm.
And I credit my mother and my father for that.
Isn't that interesting that, you know, you can have the faith as a guidebook, but when you see people actually doing the right thing, making the right decisions, and encouraging you to behave correctly, you know,
right,
correcting you when you need correction, modeling the kind of behavior that we should be modeling.
Yes.
Did you have the similar kind of upbringing, Annette?
Oh, absolutely. And my parents were extremely influential. And, you know, they're both deceased now. But there was another significant influence in my life, and I'll credit also, interestingly enough, like Chris, the Sisters of St. Joseph. And particularly as a woman, when I was growing up, there weren't a lot of women in the workforce. And sisters were the first professional women that I was ever exposed to who were in charge of things.
Yeah.
And
did you grow up in Los Angeles?
No, I actually grew up in Pomona.
Okay.
And the Sisters of St. Joseph of Orange, who I work for now, had the school that I was educated in grammar school. And they were always really important models to me of how women could be, and how women could be strong, and women could lead, and women could live the values that we all cherish and appreciate as Catholics.
Yeah. We are speaking with Chris Furman, CEO of Ventura Foods, and Annette Walker, who is the President of Strategy for Providence St. Joseph Health. They are receiving the Bishop's Award for Exemplary Business Integrity at the business conference that we're having here in the diocese next month. And we're going to learn more about that later on in the show. But if you'd like to join the conversation, if you have a question for Chris or for Annette about their fields of interest, healthcare or food, the food industry, if you have a question about business integrity in those contexts, give us a call. The number is 714-282-6034. That's 714-282-6034. Marvelous Matt, our call screener, will take your question and put you right into the conversation with us. Annette, you talked about growing up with the Catholic nuns,
uh-huh,
and then going into an industry that has been influenced, uh-huh, by them. How important has the Catholic Church been in the formation of the American health industry system?
It is basically, we're the founders of the American healthcare industry. You know, it's funny, we talk a little bit at work sometime about our heritage, and we're doing a new strategic plan, so I was doing a lot of research on...
And you are president of strategy.
Yes, yes. So I was doing some research on really successful companies that were more than 100 years old, whether minuscule number of companies, I think it was 0.0016% of companies in this country are more than 100 years old. And, you know, what was their success? But our organization is 160 years old and was founded by women. And they went out, not with the intention of founding these big health systems that has 100,000 employees now, but they went out just to meet the needs in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You talked about love earlier, what exemplifies a Christian and a Catholic. And they went out to love the neighborhood. What did the neighborhood need? The neighborhood needed health care. And that's how healthcare started in this country.
Did these women have nursing degrees or medical backgrounds?
You know, interestingly enough, a lot of them didn't. When we came to Eureka, California, the sisters decided to open a hospital. So what they did is they sent a couple sisters to Mayo Clinic and some sisters to San Francisco, and many of them were teenagers.
Wow.
They weren't like professionals, and then they opened the hospital. They opened the hospital in Eureka with a entirely, except for the physician, everybody was a sister.
Hmm.
And they all just did their job, and if they didn't know how to do it, they learned very quickly how to do it.
Got a mm-hmm. book out of the library.
Absolutely.
Well,
turning
you know,
on the job.
It's amazing how sometimes common sense
yeah.
can drive the whole industry. You know, here at EWTN, Mother Angelica founded our network, the largest religious media outlet in the world, and she had absolutely no broadcast experience. Mm-hmm. And she started it with $200 or something like that. Chris Furman, CEO of Ventura Foods, what are the specific challenges in the food industry in terms of ethics? You know, you have different issues like the labeling and you're getting, you know, a lot of obesity issues thrown at you and dietary issues. What are some of the biggest challenges, some of the new big challenges in the food industry?
I think the industry is evolving. I think just like everything else in our world today, the internet is influencing our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does for the food industry, it makes the consumer much more knowledgeable, much more educated around the products they're consuming, the food they're choosing. And that actually goes downstream to the manufacturers and to the researchers and to the marketers, and everyone, I think, is more cognizant of a much more educated consumer.
So, cognizant also scared of? Could you
well,
put that in?
It's like anything else. You can look at it as a risk or you can look at it as an opportunity.
Yeah.
I know our organization considers that an opportunity because we're able to operate on a custom basis and deliver to our customers' needs with whatever type of product that they're looking for, whether that's a product that is GMO-free or organic or more natural or what we call in the industry more clean label, something that has less preservatives, less additives. It keeps us hopping and on our game to be able to deliver to those needs.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because both of your fields have one huge distinction, profit and not-for-profit. So when you are driving a business that is looking at the profit line
yes.
and can look at the profit line, you know, it must be tempting to try to take shortcuts or to try to do things that are very, very marketable, even if they're not terribly beneficial for the public. So do you ever weigh those things? Has that ever come across your desk as an executive?
No, I don't think so. I think you're always guided by a moral compass and, you know, some...
Well, the good ones are, Chris.
Well,
the good CEOs are.
Yeah, in our case, I do think we're guided by this notion of doing the right thing over time. That's not to say that some customers are looking for products that may appeal to a certain segment of the population and not to others. And as a custom company, you know, our mission is to try to help them delight their customers. So over time, we're always trying to stay on the cutting edge.
So what are some of your product lines?
Well, we're primarily a food service company, so we're not a branded company per se. If you go into a restaurant or any type of food service outlet, the odds are pretty good that we're making product in the back of the house for a Sysco or a U.S. Foods or some of the big national chains like McDonald's, Burger King, et cetera. And in those cases, we're making either dressings, sauces, mayonnaise, oil, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Now, so you're dealing with perishables, and in a way, one of your product line, your product is also perishable, which is human beings. So you have your patients and you have your employees, Annette.
Uh-huh.
So what is the biggest challenge there? Because, you know, those are two really huge bodies of important people that drive your hospital.
Oh, there absolutely are. And we can't care for any of our patients if we don't have caregivers who are committed to the work that we're doing. You know, you said you're not for profit, but I think that's a really hard distinction in the sense some people misunderstand what that means. We have to make a profit to sustain our mission. We have to replace our equipment. We have to train our employees. So we have to make a profit to do that. It's more what's done with the profit that distinguishes a not-for-profit from a for-profit organization. And we certainly compete with for-profit organizations. So all the pressures that you alluded to, we have.
Yeah.
And we have to always take care to check ourselves that we're faithful to who we are and the way we make those decisions. It's tempting to say, oh, my gosh, you know, we need to save $100 million. How do we do it?
Yeah.
Whoa. Do we do it with people?
Let me know.
Do we do it with services?
That's it. That is, well,
it's challenging.
Both of your industries are very, very fortunate to have you at the helm because clearly you have good consciences. Annette Walker, President of Strategy for Providence St. Joseph Health, and Chris Furman, President and CEO of Ventura Foods, both recipients of very distinguished awards from the bishop this year for exemplary business integrity. They're going to stay with us to continue this great and very relevant conversation on best practices for Catholics in business. Hey, if you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call. It's 714-282-6034. That's 714-282-6034. Chris will field your questions about the food industry. Annette will field your questions about the healthcare industry. We've never had two such outstanding experts in those industries in the studio with us. So give us a call, 714-282-6034. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Celebrating, exploring, and restoring our Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Well, hello there, and welcome back to Call Me Catholic. In these early days of the Easter season, our minds should be reflecting on our early church fathers. Their brave leadership inspired and educated and fortified thousands and thousands and thousands of fellow Christians in the foundational years or centuries of our church history. Our faith still depends on authentic leadership within the church and in the world, in the secular world. We have two such leaders in our studio today. Annette Walker, President of Strategy for St. Joseph Health Providence. It's a long name, folks. Let me see if I can get this right. I want to make sure I call her exactly by her name because it is the health field and it is important. She is President of Strategy for Providence, St. Joseph Health, and Chief Executive of St. Joseph Health. Did I get that right, Annette?
Got it right.
I have to check the facts on that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Chief Fact Checker, where are you? And Chris Furman, President and CEO of Ventura Foods. They are this year's recipients of the Bishop's Award for Exemplary Business Integrity. They're going to receive that honor next month at the Business and Ethics Conference that it's held here by the Diocese of Orange, an outstanding conference. We're going to hear more about that at the end of the program. But this is an honor that recognizes Catholic professionals known for their ethical leadership qualities. So I ask this question to both of you. Are ethical people born or are they made? Are they formed? I mean, do we have to teach ethics to our kids, to students?
Absolutely. I think you do. I think it's also important to remember, formation is not an event. It's a lifelong process that hope you're continuing throughout your life. I'll use an example of with my grandchild. I was in with church with her last week or 2 weeks ago, and she's looking around, and she goes, "Nana, do you think you need to go to church every Sunday?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, even when you're out of town?" I said, "Yes." And then she goes, "Well, Susie in my class doesn't go to church because she has sports or she wants to stay home and watch TV. Do you think that's right?" And I'm like, "No." She goes, "Yeah, I think
teaching moment."
I think she said to me, "Yeah, it seems like she could find some time for God and watch less TV."
Oh.
It's all those events that happen over and over and over again with your kids or your grandkids that you can't miss.
Yeah.
Because it's not a one-time thing. It's a statement, it's a teaching, and then it's a reinforcement of behavior. If I said all that to her and I never went to church,
it would be
the lesson is lost.
Yeah,
so it's
absolutely
a lifelong process.
How do you feel about that, Chris?
I agree with Annette to the extent. I do think there's a formal and an informal portion to the development. I can't say as I was growing up that I remember going through a specific class around ethics in business. They have that today. It's part of various curriculums in the business schools. I think it's good. I think it's very healthy. But there's a practical aspect to that as well. And I think in the heat of the moment, when that moment of truth comes where you're making decisions or leading a group, I think to Annette's point, you do tend to rely back on the formation, a lifelong formation of the right ethics and values.
Mm-hmm. Well, when it's taught in school, and I know you went to St. Joseph University, you got your degree in food marketing.
Yes.
Did they talk about ethics in business? And if they did, what are they talking about? Are they talking about being honest? Are they talking about humane treatment of employees? Are they talking about choosing your products with a global interest in mind? What is ethics when they teach it?
Well, I can't remember what I was taught. I'm at an age where my memory escapes me
now,
at this point from a college education standpoint. But from what I can see being done in the schools, I do think that they're using hard examples. And I do think they're teaching, you know, behaviors and approaches that are successful, that other organizations, other executives have demonstrated that have turned out to be successful. There's plenty of books written on what makes a great leader and, you know, how people do succeed. So I think that's part of the education. And I think both Annette and I have the wonderful opportunity at times to speak in front of either classes or students or individuals. So we have the opportunity to tell our story about how we approach our business lives.
And what is that story in a nutshell, Chris?
Well, for me, it goes back to my upbringing. It goes back to...
Were your parents in the food industry?
Well, not necessarily, but my grandparents were. Okay. They immigrated from abroad years ago, and they went into the grocery industry. And I guess we have a long line in our family. As my mother would like to say, my dad is of Polish descent. My mother's of Italian descent. That makes me 100% Italian. So from a background standpoint, I know I did grow up to some degree in the food business, and I got some of that from, you know, my grandparents and my aunts and uncles growing up.
Yeah. Well, you know, part of ethics I put into the whole lump of business ethics is the work ethic, you know, which is simply working hard. And your grandparents probably did work very hard if they immigrated over here and started a grocery business or got into the grocery business. You couldn't work 3.5 days a week, and you couldn't say, I'm going to do this from home. You know,
right.
So hard work is part of it. So can that be taught, Annette?
Yeah, I think it can be taught. I think it's becoming more difficult, though, as we become a more diverse society. Because a lot of the things we talked about when you talk about ethics is people are able to align on similar values, whatever they value. And I do think our society, as it becomes more diverse, it's getting harder to get that kind of alignment. And, for instance, like when we interview people, we speak about our values of our organization, and we specifically try to elicit and discern whether this individual applying for the job would be attracted to the values that we would expect them to manifest on our organization.
As a Catholic hospital system.
As a Catholic hospital system. Not everybody is attracted to the things that we speak about when we interview. So we try to select for that. As a society, though, I think it's challenging because then we go into how would that affect, you know, our medical ethics or our life ethics. Yeah. I mean, the end of life discussion is a good example of that. People value very different things in our society now. So as a Catholic Christian, it's sometimes very challenging to be in the business world and try to live your own personal ethics and to stand above that, especially if you ended up working for a company that maybe doesn't share your personal values. They maybe value profit over people.
There was an
challenging,
interesting story recently about, I believe it was in Sweden, and they have a very broad practice of midwifery in Sweden.
Yeah.
And this one woman who was trained to be a midwife said, they were also lumping into that education the practice of abortion.
Yeah.
And she said, well, I don't believe in that, and I will be a midwife, but I will not engage in that practice. And they said, well, then you can't be a midwife here.
Yeah.
And she has to go to another country, cross the border, to practice midwifery. Well, there's a woman who stood up for her ethics, for her values, for her beliefs. You know, another story I wanted to share with you is a friend of ours who runs an attorney's firm. He's a partner in a firm. He said it was becoming very difficult to find good young attorneys that were part of their ethos, their business ethos.
Mm-hmm.
And he said they'd come in with their pedigrees of where they got their law degree, what, you know, where they went to college, what their law internship was and everything. And he said, we realized what we wanted to learn is, what was your first job? What was your first job in high school? What was your second job? And how long were you there? And what kind of relationship do you still have with the people that you got your first job from? So they wanted to go back beyond some of these superficial trappings. And he said they've had more success talking to people about their early first years of employment as a 16-year-old than they do about their college degree and their professional, you know, most recent professional experience. How do you qualify prospective employees, Chris?
Well, for me, the higher order question is around culture. And as an organization, we're very focused on performance and success with results against the objectives that we have. But I'm really proud over the last 7 years, we've worked hard as a leadership group to really define the culture and say to ourselves, it's as important how we achieve success as it is what we achieve.
Oh, very good. Yes.
And that's something that we really rally behind as an organization. So That will then tend to manifest itself into the interview process or the recruiting process. But it's not just in terms of searching for individuals outside of the company. It's about developing individuals within the organization. And we're guided in that work, as most companies are, by a value statement or values that we believe in. And we have four values that my biggest paranoia as a leader of the company was that we would spend all this time 6 years ago developing three or four values, and then a year later it would just become wallpaper.
Yeah.
And someone would walk by a poster that had those values on it, but
isn't
not
that quaint?
Live it,
yeah,
not believe
yeah.
it, and not have it really form the norms of behavior within our company. And I'm really proud to say that we haven't let that happen.
Well, what are the four pillars for you?
Well, we went through a really rigorous process. We involved over 100 of our employees because I didn't want it to be just the CEO coming down from the mountain and delivering values to the company.
Somehow you don't strike me as that kind of guy, Chris.
So we really used a bottoms-up approach, and it was about 9 months in length, and we came out with this idea that integrity, teamwork, customer focus, and personal ownership would be the four values that we would rally behind. And an interesting story, we're a privately owned company, 50% owned by an American multinational company, and 50% owned by a company out of Tokyo called Mitsui. Mm-hmm. And both of these companies have a board that I report to. And when I presented them with the four values, they had one request.
What?
Please put integrity first.
Oh.
So we have, and any communication that you see from Ventura Foods regarding our values has integrity listed first, and that's so important. So I'm fortunate and blessed to be working with owners that share the same values and mindset.
Beautiful? As so I integrity do. Would be honesty, mm-hmm. dependability, you know, a name you can trust to represent something.
Well, we define it specifically. We debated that because integrity is a word that's used often in business and it's often misused.
And in cars, too, I think.
Our definition is do the right thing when no one is watching.
Oh, I love that. That's good. That's really good. Yeah, that's simple, and it actually
makes you think.
It makes you think, and you can carry that around with you. You don't have to go back to your manual to figure out, what does integrity mean again?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's beautiful. That's outstanding. That's hey, we've got a poacher in the audience here. Hank Evers, he's coming up next. He's going to actually talk to us about the Conference on Business and Ethics, which is happening next month in May here in the Diocese of Orange. And they will be honoring these two wonderful guests that we have today. So, Annette, if you were to go into a classroom of college students who were sort of confused, I don't know what career to go into because there are so many careers and the professional world is changing rapidly. How would you advise them to kind of discern through the process of trying to find such a good fit like you both have found in your professional lives?
It's funny. I just did that a couple of weeks ago at my alma mater and had that question. And, you know, I think it's a couple things. One is something that you have some natural talent for, that you can feel, hey, I have a gift for this. Mm-hmm. But I think my advice to them was to try to sit quietly and try to listen. And try to feel, what are they being drawn to? Because I do believe if you are drawn to a vocation, mm-hmm. but you have to quiet yourself enough to listen to what direction you're getting
and
to go.
And stop continuing to search for more suggestions.
Yeah, well, maybe and maybe not. I think the kids today have so many opportunities. And whatever they choose to do the first 5 years of their career might not at all be what they do the next five. They're going to have five or six different careers at least. And being open to those opportunities and just, I had a boss once who said that the advice was bloom where you're planted, meaning like do a really good job where you are. And when you do that, the next step always takes care of itself.
And that's so weird because I had a boss that told me that too. Ernest Hahn was his name. He's a shopping center developer. And I have repeated that to so many people because it's like your advice, Chris. What would you do if you knew nobody was watching? Repeat that to me again. What would you do when nobody's watching? How do you behave when nobody's watching?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing. Just do the best with what is in front of you. And this is kind of God's plan. He will providentially
show you the light.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chris, what would you say to a group of college students? How did you come by your interest in food?
Well, I started in high school. It was a little by accident. I knew that I was going to struggle financially to come up with the money to get through school. And one of my high school teachers came to me with a scholarship program for food marketing at St. Joseph's University. So I applied. I ended up getting it, and then I worked really hard to continue that scholarship through school. So that got me into the program. And then the beautiful thing, I think, about the food industry, at least, is there's so many different disciplines you can follow. There's manufacturing, there's retail, there's sales, there's marketing, distribution. So once you get in, you start to take some of the courses, you start to get a feel for what aspect you feel good about. My son is 29 years old. When he came out of school, I gave him advice, and I said, find something like everybody does that you have a passion for and stick to it. Yeah. He came back to me about 3 years later. He said, Dad, I just heard a really cool piece of advice, and it runs really counter to what you told me. I said, what is that? And he said, well, I heard somebody say, early in your career, you should try a few different things and get good at it. And when you get good at something, you build a passion for it. And then you continue on that discipline
in
life.
So this, way. Well, that is a generational thing, don't you think, Chris and Annette? I mean, it's kind of hard to say.
This generation's more mobile, I think.
Yeah. I mean, our grandparents stayed at the same job all their life. Hey, Chris Furman, Annette Walker, once again, congratulations on your well-deserved honor of receiving this year's Bishop's Award for Exemplary Business Integrity. Having spent this last hour with you, I can tell why you have received it in just our short conversation. I know your examples have really made a difference for the people that you work with and for the industry that you work in. So God bless you and your families, and keep up the good work, and I hope to see you at the conference next May. We're going to hear about it in a minute. Well, thank you again.
Thanks, Peggy.
Thank you very much.
It was really, really fun talking to you. Now, to give you a little more background on this Bishop's Award for Exemplary Business, the context in which this honor is bestowed, we'll have a brief chat with the person organizing the conference on business and ethics, the upcoming forum at which this award is given. It's a big deal here in the Diocese of Orange, and we're going to learn more about it from Hank Evers. But first, I want to talk to you about a great gift resource we have at EWTN. I am a big fan of online shopping. You can sit at your computer and do it whenever you want. You don't have to run around from store to store looking for that special item. The EWTN Religious Catalog, you can access it by going to EWTNRC.com, is your go-to religious bookstore for just about every occasion. And we've got confirmations and First Holy Communions coming up. You know, young men are sometimes very hard to shop for. They have the Warrior's Rosary there, which is a very cool kind of a battle-oriented way to approach prayer. And this month, they have a special offer for you. When you buy the book, Mother Angelica's Answers, Not Promises, everything she wrote, you should have in your library, friends. It's so repeatable. It's just like the conversation I had with Chris and Annette. Lots of good takeaways. But if you order that book, Mother Angelica's Answers, Not Promises, along with a 4-inch statue of El Divino Niño, which was her favorite devotion, you'll save 20% on your purchase. Check it out. I love sales. Yeah. Visit EWTNRC.com and type BUN, which stands for bundle. I should clarify that. I did have that right. In the search bar to view this special offer along with several other favorite EWTN bundles. That's EWTNRC.com for all things Catholic. Hey, I would like to welcome to the studio now. He's been here all along. Actually, he's been a very good boy, being very quiet in the corner. Hank Evers is Director of Development and Communications for the Orange Catholic Foundation. And he is in charge of this huge conference on business and ethics, which is being held May 12th at the Hilton Anaheim. Welcome to Call Me Catholic, Hank.
Peggy, I couldn't tell you. I am just so delighted to be here. I really am. And to have an opportunity to spend time with Chris and Annette. Your program today has been outstanding so far. I just hope that I can keep that bar, that measurable bar, right up there.
Jimmy G, Hank Evers has a good radio voice.
Hank's the man.
Gosh, you got a good voice.
He's a radio veteran.
You got a good voice. Hey, so, you know, we know the people. We know the quality of this program by the quality of the people that are receiving this bishop's honor. Tell us a little bit about this program. It's been around for 14 years.
Actually, this is our 15th annual.
Okay.
So it's really exciting. The Conference on Business and Ethics, though, it's become the premier event in Orange County. And this is where a faith-based community of influential business, religious, academic, and philanthropic leaders can gather, knowing that they share a common commitment to ethical best practices in their daily lives.
Yeah.
That's outstanding. But I think really its loftier purpose is to raise funds to provide financial aid for students in our diocese, in the Diocese of Orange, who desire but otherwise they simply couldn't afford a high-quality Catholic education. So everybody wins. It is. It's a winner for on all levels. It truly is.
Now the top ranking of your program is of course these award recipients, and they deserve all that glory. But you also have some really great guest speakers this year coming to address the audience.
We do, and in fact, in addition to the Bishop's Award for Exemplary Business Integrity that's being given to Chris and Annette, we will be providing an award to a very well-known individual in sports, Vin Scully.
Never heard of him. Jimmy G, have you ever heard of him?
Dodger baseball.
No, it's terrific. Vin is going to be receiving the Lifetime Achievement Award. This is an award that was actually created by, and I have to give the shout-out to the sponsor, one of our sponsors, our presenting sponsor, in fact, for the past 15 years, has been Farmers and Merchants Bank.
Oh, they are an outstanding organization.
And so Dan Walker, the CEO and chairman, will be presenting the award along with Bishop Vann to Vin. Now, Vin, his fidelity to Dodger baseball is absolutely legendary. He was with the Dodgers for 67 straight seasons.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? And that includes he was with them when they transferred from New York
to
1957. Yeah. So,
well, you're preaching to the choir here, you know, to Jimmy G. He could be reciting chapter and verse of every statistic the Dodgers ever had.
Oh, that'd be exciting radio. Yeah.
But, you know,
there's something
that really is very important. A lot of people don't know this about Vin Scully, and that is that his faithfulness to the Lord in how he practices his Catholic faith. I think that's even more prominent. It truly is. In fact, shortly after he retired, only a matter of weeks after, he got together with Doug Sherman, who started Immaculate Heart Radio, and he also joined Kevin O'Malley, the head of Catholic Athletes for Christ, and they recorded a two CD set of the Rosary.
Which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, your listeners today, Peggy, are going to be the first to hear that we have a very special gift for our guests on May 12th. Everyone who attends the conference, and that'll be over 1,000 people, will receive a copy of that two CD set along with a rosary. And I'd like to just point out that this event is on May 12th, Friday morning, May 12th. It starts at 7:30 in the morning at the Anaheim Hilton. Now, May 12th happens to be the day before the 100th anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima,
yes,
the first time that Our Lady appeared to those children at Fatima. And we all know that she had asked them to share, to spread the word that we should all pray the rosary. And so everyone will receive a rosary, a beautiful rosary, along with this.
And Bishop Vann can bless them all while he's there.
They will all be blessed.
Oh, already
all of
blessed.
Them. So that really, I think that's
well, and
great.
You know what? Vin Scully was also a faithful husband. And I think his devotion to his wife was consistent with the kind of faithful guy he was. I loved at his last broadcast in Dodger Stadium, he stood up and sang "The Wind Beneath My Wings" to his wife. Do I have that right,
yeah,
Jimmy
exactly.
G?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so.
You know, most people don't know
beloved.
This, but George Weigel, a prolific Catholic author,
yeah,
in First Things, he wrote, and I quote, "Vin Scully has lived through tragedies that would have crushed or embittered others.
Yeah.
The death of a wife, the death of a son. You know, he's been through so many things, and he openly credits the Catholic faith with which he grew up in the Bronx as his life's anchor." So, I mean, that speaks volumes.
Yeah, he was an unabashed Catholic. I use that word sometimes,
yes,
because he had no apologies for that. And he lived it strong, and people admired him for that. Yeah. And we should really remember that. But you have a couple of other speakers on the dais.
We do. So really, the keynote speaker, the first person that's going to be up on that morning will be Patricia Heaton. Now, I think most people know Patricia Heaton as Deborah Barone from
Everybody Loves Raymond.
Right. That ran from 1996 through 2005.
Wow.
And let's see, Patricia is a 7-time Emmy Award, not winner, but nominee. Mm-hmm. She's won, I believe, 2 Emmys. So,
and now she's in the middle, right?
That's correct. Mm-hmm, she plays the part of Frankie Heck on ABC's The Middle, which this year is in its 9th season.
Yeah,
so it's really big. But she's a consistent life ethicist and supportive of pro-life groups and causes. She's the honorary chair of Feminists for Life. It's an organization which opposes abortion and embryonic stem cell research. And she's also the founding member of World Vision's Celebrity Ambassador Network.
And
she
is
the spokesperson for World Vision.
And it's not easy in that particular industry to be a pro-life advocate like she is. She does it very joyfully, and she does it very unequivocally. You know, it's like, yeah, this is what I stand for. Sorry if you don't agree. And it hasn't seemed to hamper her career. Now, we just got a few seconds left. You've got one other person that's of note on your speakers.
Oh, we certainly do. We have an amazing MC. So we brought, we invited Tim Conway Jr., from KFI. He's the son of Tim Conway, who was on
Senior.
The Carol Burnett Show. But on his own, he is a celeb. That is to say, he now hosts a nightly show on the number one news talk radio station in the country, KFI.
Fantastic. So, okay, so if there are any tickets left, how would they find them, Hank, very quickly?
It's so easy. All you have to do is go to orangecatholicfoundation.org.
Yeah.
That's it. It's so
worthy,
simple.
It's worth the coming to town for this kind of a conference because
it's
so outstanding.
Is. Peggy, thank you so much.
Oh, listen, we wish you all kinds of continued success. And I would love to have gotten a little bit more into how you go about your selection criteria for these honorees because you have very, very good taste. But we'll get to that next time, Hank. In the meantime, good luck with that conference. Hey, coming up next is Barbara McGuigan with The Good Fight. And today she is interviewing Lisa Cotter and they are going to discuss dating detox. For all you single people out there, no married people. You
sounds
kind of
heavy. Sounds heavy.
But Barbara goes for 2 hours with really, really engaging conversation. And so you don't want to miss that coming up right after Call Me Catholic. But mostly we just want you to tune in next week, same day, same time for more good news from our good faith. In the meantime, I'm Peggy Normandin, but you can call me Catholic.
You've been listening to Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin, live from the Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, California. Call Me Catholic is a co-production of EWTN Radio and Orange County Catholic Radio. Heard weekly on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.